Truly amazing, isn't it? Truly amazing what God has done for us. Most people like amazing things. You go places that just go, wow, that's amazing. Well, the greatest amazement is that God loved us in that way. That he would die for us, that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. May we never cease to be amazed at that amazing truth of God's love. And I hope, if not for anything else today, that you would just go away today. Oh, we're going to preach, don't worry. But in a moment when you go away, that you would reflect on the depth of love, the cross of Christ, all that he's done on your behalf, and cast all your care upon him. For his love never changes. He cares for you. Well, take your Bibles with me this morning for just a few minutes. I know you've heard that before from preachers, right? I'm a preacher of the gospel and I have a few words to say. Well, we're going to get right to it in 1 Thessalonians, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Great opportunity to be here today. I'm sorry we're missing Pastor, but I know he's away. And he texted me this morning saying he was praying for you and praying for me. And I know he was ministering today, I believe, in Georgia, if I'm not mistaken. And we appreciate your pastor and your youth pastor and the folks who have served here. And this is great to be with you today at Metropolitan Baptist Church. Pray for us. We'll be down at Worth Baptist Church tonight for the evening service. And then we'll be heading back to camp tomorrow. But and continue to pray for Southland Christian Camp Ministries. This is a weird time for all of us in our world and in our country. A little tiny germ can do great measures to shut down what people think is important. And whether it be the wearing of masks or the social distancing, which we're all probably tired of hearing about, or whether it be all the economic talk and the struggle with what's going on economically in our world and in our country, or whether it's all the mess of the political talk, we definitely don't want to get into that today, do we? We're all aware of it. We all know that the world is waxing worse and worse, being deceived every single day, and that the things of this life aren't the things that satisfy us, that we have something bigger and better to look forward to. And the Bible is very clear in many places about the fact that we are living as pilgrims, we are living as strangers, and that nothing should derail us from our faith. Nothing should cause us to forget about our God. But in the times of trouble, we should be leaning more on him. And I believe that in our Christian lives, we could all agree that when we go through trials, whether they're the worldwide trials or whether they're the individual trials, it is an opportunity for us to either acknowledge him as God and lean heavily to him, trusting in him, or it is a time where we're tempted and have a tendency to fret and to fear and to oftentimes worry and sometimes even get angry and bitter. And I want to challenge us today that there's no need for that in our lives. There's no need to fret, to worry, to lack in hope. We have something to look forward to. The book of 1 Thessalonians is a book that most would summarize dealing with the time of the end times, whether it was the time of the rapture or whether it was the time of the things to come in eternal life. The book of 1 Thessalonians was written to a struggling, suffering church. And it was, in essence, the Apostle Paul's encouragement to them to comfort one another with the thought that we have something bigger and better to look forward to. And I want to comfort all of us with these words, is what the scriptures say. In chapter 4, verse 18, where we see, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And it again comes up in chapter 5 as we read, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you. That's an important verse basically saying, folks, you know that the world is going to be this way. And though he feels like there would be no need to write to you and say the world's going to be bad. And can I say for all of us, we have no need to really relate that. We should already know that. The world is going to be bad. Things are in the world aren't going to be what satisfy. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travaileth upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Did you see that? To the world, those that are in sin, those that are lost, if you're here today and you're lost, The coming of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night to you. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, that bad experience of somebody breaking into your home. Nobody wants that. But it comes suddenly. It comes surprisingly. It comes, in a sense, fearfully, right? That's a scary thing when somebody breaks into your house and you don't know what's going on and you hear the footsteps. And of course, Hollywood has taken that and run with that and all the things that they do with those type of scenarios and stories. Well, the Lord's return, the rapture of Jesus Christ and the rapture of God's church out of this wicked world is going to catch those who are lost, those that are heathen, the world itself as a thief in the night. All of a sudden, the truth will be made known. All of a sudden, those who blaspheme God will be like, oh, maybe there is a God. And we hope that many more will turn to Jesus Christ in that day. But for us that know Christ, we should be ready.
Right.
It shouldn't catch us as a thief in the night. Notice what the verse says there. In verse 5, it says, ye are the children of light, not of darkness. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Why are Christians living in such a way that they're in the dark? The light needs to stay on. We're living in the light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, verse 6, let us not sleep as do others. Now, how many of you love your sleep? Amen. Right? Nothing wrong. We're not talking about physical sleep here. We're talking about spiritual lethargy, spiritual lukewarmness, spiritual apathy. Don't be apathetic. Don't fall away. In the spirit of the age, don't let it draw you and allure you away. Don't let the devil sift you as wheat, the Bible says. We ought to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We ought to keep our heart, Proverbs 4:23, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We ought to gravitate to the Word of God, love the Word of God, and let the Spirit of God direct us so that we live in confidence in the truth, in the light. And as Isaiah says, truth has fallen in the streets these days. And it shouldn't be that way in our lives as believers. We, every day we live is one day closer to the coming of the Lord. We need to live in light of that, not in the dark. Therefore, let us not sleep, but let us watch, be alert, and be under control, sober. Watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. The ones that are apathetic, that are asleep in the heathen world, they're in darkness. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Those who are controlled by their flesh, by the world, they're drunken in the things of this world, in the devil's ways. But let us who are of the day, I love that. We are of the day. We have to live in the light. Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop there for just a moment. There's a whole lot of preaching in those verses that we don't have time to get to, but let me just summarize it by saying this. In the dark world in which we live, we need to be a candle. We need to be a flashlight, if you will. We need to be a spotlight of the love of Christ and the light of Jesus Christ. And that happens as we war the war by putting on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and all the other armaments that's offered to us in Ephesians chapter 6, by being under control, by saying no to sin, and by living the truth of Jesus Christ brightly in the midst of a dark day. He summarizes this and he says, that's the way that we ought to be living when Christ returns. I'd like to speak for just a few minutes on this subject, being rapture ready. Being rapture ready. And I want to ask this question this morning. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Have you ever had somebody very, very special come visit you? And you prepared the place. You got the house all cleaned up. You got the guest room all set up and made and in order. You, maybe both of you, husband and wife, were in the kitchen fixing and preparing the food, you know, getting it ready for the meal. Well, the table is set and the feast is prepared. We need to be ready for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
And we need to spend time looking into our hearts and lives and seeing if we are living in such a way that we will evidence to God that we are truly rapture ready. And I say right now, Lord Jesus, come quickly, don't you, Christian?
Yes,
wow. It is time for the coming of the Lord. I can't wait. And we ought to have that spirit of waiting, yet working, for the coming of the Lord is nigh. And so I do believe this text in chapter 5 is helping us to know what we need to do to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Now, in the following verses we see after what we've already read, notice verse 11, he says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." As God's people, we ought to all be working together to live in this way, that we're living in the light along with other people that are living in the light. And the heathen world shouldn't silence the light of the church.
That's right, amen.
And it comes when individuals get on fire for God and are lighting their candle for God, and they come together with other individuals, then the light of the church, He will build his church, and the light of the church will go forward. I know that's one of my frustrations with what's been going on. In places where you can have all kinds of riots, they're trying to tell you you can't go to church. Anyway, we're not going to go there, but that's frustrating, isn't it? I'm glad you're still in church. And I think we ought to be careful. I think we ought to be social distancing. I'm encouraged to see that here. I think we ought to do our part to love one another and do our part to not spread the virus or mitigate, etc. I believe in all that. I believe there's a healthy balance that we as Christians should be coming to in understanding how to live civilly with other people in our world. But let me just say boldly that this is a time for God's church to shine.
Amen.
God's people to be bold. God's light to be evidenced through true faith and not fear in the hearts of believers. And when we come together, even today, folks, we can be encouraged that there are others going in that same way. We can comfort one another and edify one another and build up one another as we all seek to live in the way that we ought to live in the midst of this nastiness that we face. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, for sake of time, we're going to have to just skip down to verses 16 and following. But some of the shortest verses in the Bible give us some of the most practical ways that we can be rapture ready. Notice he says, rejoice evermore. We ought not be complainers, but we ought to rejoice and joy in God. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. That does not mean we walk around going, "Oh, our Father which is in heaven," and we're always constantly praying out loud or even praying like physically praying mentally. It means that there's a God awareness, a God consciousness, that as we go throughout our day, He's fresh on our minds. His truth is fresh on our hearts. Whatever we do, and in every way, we're guided by the testimony of what He says, and that we are communing in a relationship with our God. And boy, that we, in order to be rapture ready, we need to be in close harmony and fellowship with God. He says, then in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We need that in these days, that we should be thankful for whatever God sends our way. That's tough when trials come, but we to be rapture ready, that's what we need. He says, quench not the Spirit. That simply means don't shut down what the Spirit of God is trying to do in your life. Listen to Him, welcome Him, ask for Him to search you, to know you, to try you. Don't put out the dealing of the Holy Spirit in your life. One of the joys of camp is when kids come and they hear the Word of God and they get individual counsel from counselors, and they're getting it at every angle to watch the Spirit of God work. It's really amazing. And that's what ought to be happening in all of our lives on a regular basis. When Christ returns, we ought to have been shown clearly that we've been guided by the Spirit of God. Quench not the Spirit. And then he says, despise not prophesying. Hold on a second. That means enjoy preaching. It means we ought to enjoy hearing the truth, reading the truth, listening to the truth, responding to the truth. We ought not be ho-hum when it comes to preaching of the Word of God. God chose the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise, the Bible says. And we ought to look forward to it in a day. Can I just encourage you in the day and age which we live in, this time of trial, listen to more preaching. Get online and get you some good messages, and maybe ask your pastors to recommend some other places. Of course, coming to your own church and hearing preaching, but get online and listen to other good preachers and just get more and more of the Word of God. And God ought to find us loving His Word when He comes. And then I want to focus in for the rest of our time, because it's a burden of my heart in verses 21 and 22. On three truths that he gives us in this text that I believe oftentimes are missing in the lives of believers, and in my own life, I want to be challenged by this as well. How do we shine the light, live as warriors, put on the armor of God, All these things are important that we've looked at. Rejoice in the Lord. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. But let's look quickly at verses 21 and 22. He says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved and blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. This is a tremendous text and a challenging text. I just want to challenge us about how to be rapture ready with 3 points. Number one, he says, prove all things. Number one today is, if we are going to be rapture ready, we need to be a discerning Christian. We need to be evaluating all things that are going on in our life. We do not live ho-hum, nebulous lives that where we just succumb to all the things that are out there and available to us, but we will evaluate in our lives personally, in our marriages, in our families and churches, absolutely everything so that it's in accordance with the Word of God. This is super important. It's the word discernment. It's all through Scripture. The Bible gives us clear, straightforward commands of Scripture, right? Like, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, etc. And there's many, many hundreds of straightforward commands. But then what God does miraculously is he gives principles that would apply to areas of our life. And sometimes those principles aren't dogmatic principles of command, but they're principles that have to be thought through and spirit-driven and evaluated in reference to anything of moral consequence in our life. You see, nowhere in the Bible do we find exactly what TV shows we should and shouldn't listen to, what music we should and shouldn't listen to, what we should and shouldn't say, exactly the words that we should and shouldn't say. Can you imagine if we had a Bible that told us all of that? We'd just in one of those areas, it would be a Bible that would be not be able to be contained on the greatest computer. It wouldn't be this small, that's for sure. But what God did miraculously is he gave us truths, principles of Scripture, and then the Spirit of God to help us discern what is right and wrong. In the book of Hebrews, it says that the mature Christian is a person who is not just satisfied with the milk of the Word, but with the meat of the Word, and that is that the meat of the Word is the discernment to use your senses, exercise your senses, which takes work, to discern that which is good and evil. It is a day in which we live where we need discerning Christians. We can take just a few principles of Scripture and illustrate this. The Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's a big principle, isn't it? So everywhere I go, everything I say, the friendships I keep, what I look at, how I respond at work, what I do with my money, and you put whatever else you do in there, whether you eat or drink, even that should be done for the glory of the Lord. That is a principle of Scripture that's easy to quote and easy to say, hard to master and live in our lives, but God has given us everything we need to properly fulfill that principle. So we must evaluate things. We must prove all things. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul prays that their love would abound yet more and more in all knowledge and judgment. The word judgment there is the right sense of things, the right discernment of things. He was praying for God's people as I would say the Lord would want in our lives, that we would have the right judgment of what's going on and how to make sense of it through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, how to make decisions in accordance with the will of God. Believe me, when all this was coming down and we were having to make decisions for the camp, one of the things I prayed every single day to the Lord is, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me discernment to make the right decision in this case. And that there's a lot of decisions that were being made during this time frame. And the Old Testament word wisdom is similar to the New Testament idea of discernment. And the word wisdom comes up in the New Testament as well. But would to God that we would all be ready for his coming because we are demonstrating biblical wisdom. We are shining discernment in the way that we are living our lives. What you do, what you say, every part of your lifestyle is important when Jesus returns. Is your light going to be shining? So I want to encourage you, what is it in your life that you need to stop and evaluate? What do you need to prove? and say to God, I'm convinced I'm doing the right thing because of this and this and this. And we need to take time as in our families and teaching our kids discernment, how to make proper decisions. So the first thing I want you to see is if we're going to live in the light, if we're going to be children of the day, and we'll be ready for the coming of the Lord, we will be people of discernment, evaluating all things. But number two, we'll be people of dedication, and we will embrace the right things. He says, prove all things, and then notice what he says, hold fast to that which is good. Anchor yourself in the right things. And don't be moved. Keep a sweet spirit as you anchor yourself, but be willing when everybody else drifts away to be anchored to the rock, anchored to the word, anchored to what you know and believe to be right. And I think this is crucial in our day to be ready for the coming of the Lord, because the world's going to wax worse and worse. False prophets are going to be out there. Even God's people that are truly Christians oftentimes will drift away and will go into sin at times. And we as God's people ought to be anchored.
Yes, sir.
Holding fast to that which is good. And what are many of the things that are good? Well, we could list a lot of different things. But being with God's people in God's church is a good thing.
Amen.
You ought to be faithful to church. You ought to be faithful to love one another. You ought to be faithful in serving. Even in difficult days, we can still find ways to serve through our local church. And that's a good thing. We ought to be soul winners. That's a good thing that we need to embrace, that God has chosen us to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. How many of you agree with me that this is a really good time to share the light of Jesus Christ in soul winning? I mean, I think we're a little bashful with that before the pandemic, and I think we're still bashful at times in the pandemic. Man, the Lord stirs my heart about this. Boy, this is not we're not talking about witnessing to everybody you see. That's not what we're talking about. Or tying tracks to rocks and throwing them in your neighbor's yards. No, I'm talking about when the Spirit directs you to say something. And when you know there's a clear opportunity, you ought to shine the light of Jesus. It's a good thing. Embrace that opportunity. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. We ought to embrace our Bible study and the Word of God right now in a day where our country, which was founded on the truths of the Word of God and the thoughts of providential leading in the United States of America, nobody can tear down that. And though they may try to tear down statues and tear down our history, what we all know that can't be torn down is that God blessed America. Because it was a nation that put Him at the forefront. And it was founded that way, it was protected that way, and blessed is the nation that whose God is the Lord. And we can know that when we lift up the Bible, we lift up God, and we lift Him up in our lives, in our marriages, and in our homes, and we embrace it, we teach it, and we hold fast to it, God will bless that.
Yes, sir.
Success comes to those who meditate and obey the Word of God. What do you want to be known for when Jesus returns? When the rapture comes, do you want Him to see you as a person embracing the things that you ought to embrace? Holding fast and dedicated, fully committed to the cause of Jesus Christ? So we need to hold fast to that which is good. So we need to evaluate all things and have discernment. We need to be dedicated to Christ and hold fast to that which is good. And notice verse 22. We need to eliminate some things out of our life. Notice, and this takes discipline. Abstain from all appearance of evil. So there's some things that we hold fast to and dedicate to. There's some things that we, by discipline, stay away from. It's very clear here. And even the very appearance of sinfulness is what tells us to stay away from. And the idea here is that all sin should be sought to be stayed away from it. We ought to have an aversion to sin and the devil and our own wicked flesh. Let's all be honest. The world, the flesh, and the devil are all very, very strong enemies of the cross, enemies of the Christian. And oftentimes, one of the biggest struggles is that of the culture. Beware. Colossians 2:8 says, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware of the culture. Beware of their thinking. Beware of their lies. Beware of it, their vain deceit. Beware of how alluring it will become, and abstain from it. Discipline yourselves to say no to it. And don't allow your flesh to give in. Don't allow your heart to be drawn away into the things of this world, into this life. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. I love verse 17. The world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God will abide forever. And it takes discipline in our lives to abstain, to say no to, as 1 Timothy says, to flee youthful lusts, to say no to sin. And folks, are you working at that in your life? When Jesus returns, will he find us working? Will he find us waiting? Will he find us watching? Will he find us abstaining from evil, embracing that which is good, evaluating every decision of our life to make it in accordance with his will and his word? Will we be discerning, dedicated, disciplined Christians? And you know what shines the light of Christ most brightly in the world in which we live is that type of a Christian. The type of Christian that lives in the darkness, lives in the sin, isn't embracing that which is good, but embracing actually that which is evil at times, the person who's lacking in discernment, is actually hindering the gospel more than they ever even realize. They've blended in with the darkness of the world when they should be the ones obliterating the darkness of the world with the light of Christ and the gospel in them. And I want to encourage us to be rapture ready. Now, if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, obviously you're not ready for the rapture. The rapture is that time and that moment when Jesus comes, the Bible says in chapter 4, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet will sound, and those that will join the Lord in the air, and so we will ever be with the Lord. How many of you are ready for that day? Amen. That's only for Christians. It's only for those who are born again. If you're here without Jesus Christ, you're not rapture ready until you're born again into the family of God. Are you confident today that if you were to die, you'd be with your Savior? Are you confident that if Jesus did return right now, that he would take you home to be with him? Are you rapture ready? As a Christian, are you rapture ready? But if you're here without Jesus Christ, can I encourage you to get rapture ready? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ is for you. It's the only way of salvation, and today can be the day of salvation for you. But I believe it's important that our lives as believers be challenged about living in the day, living in the light as soldiers in God's army, sober, watching, disciplined, dedicated, and discerning Christians, so that our light will so shine, so that when Jesus comes, we might actually be rewarded and hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Christian, do you need to make a decision today? Is there a sin that needs to be confessed? Is there an area that you're lacking in your dedication and courage and commitment? Is there something that you're really struggling with that needs to be confessed before the Lord today? Let God do his work in your life. He cares for you. He loves you. He wants you to be fully surrendered to him. I want to encourage you today to make a decision for Jesus Christ, and that we would all leave from this building rapture ready. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be together today. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the challenge to our hearts. And what we need in this desperate day is Christians who are shining the light boldly, discerning, dedicated, disciplined Christians who are abstaining from evil, cleaving to that which is good. We're loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. We're sharing our faith. And Lord, we know we all fail in so many areas. And one of the joys of coming to church each week, hearing the word of God, letting the Spirit of God speak to us, bringing us back to where we need to be. We ask for you to confront us, to challenge us and chastise us, so that we can live in a way that's truly successful and pleasing to you. If there's anyone here today without Christ, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. Bring them to an understanding that they need Christ, and help them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Would you just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? How many today would say, "Brother Mike, I know without any doubt that if the rapture were to take place, or if I were to go home in death, that I know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm born again. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand and put it back down? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Isn't it great to know that? You don't have to live in wonder and doubt. You can know that. Who today would say, Brother Mike, if God returned, the rapture took place, or if I were to die, I don't know for sure 100% that I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know that. I don't have confidence. I'm doubting that. Or I'm sure that I don't have Him as my Savior. I don't think I've ever been born again. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand and put it back down? I'm not sure about that today. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Anybody at all like that? Please pray for me. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? I'm not sure I'm a Christian today. If that's you and you didn't raise your hand, can I just encourage you to come find me after the service? I'll be at the back. I'd love to share with you the Bible and answer questions from the Bible about how you can know that you're a child of God. Christian, what about you today? Are you rapture ready? How many Christians would say, Brother Mike, God spoke to me about an area of my life that I'm not rapture ready in? Discipline, dedication, discernment. There's a sin struggle. There's a lack of commitment, lack of courage. There's something in my life that I need to commit to today, confess today, or change today so that I'm rapture ready. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand? Slip up your hand and put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can I make an assumption that if you're not raising your hand, that maybe you believe you're already rapture ready? That God would find you working and waiting and watching for Him? And He'd be pleased with everything that you're doing in your life right now? Either that, or maybe you're just asleep, apathetic to what's really going on. So I want to just encourage you, there's no middle ground here. You're either ready or you're not. And I want to encourage you, if you're not ready today, whether you raised your hand or not, that as we have this invitation and we allow the Lord to speak to us, that you would listen to the Spirit of God and not quench the Spirit, but allow Him to change you and respond to what He's doing in your life. Lord, would you do your work in this invitation time? Would you challenge people to change and help us to leave different as a result of being here today? Get us all rapture ready. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's just quietly stand to our feet. As we stand to our feet, nobody's looking. The pianist is going to begin to play a hymn of invitation of her choosing. As Amy plays that invitation hymn, we ought to respond and get rapture ready. It's time for God's light to shine through you. Stop hiding it under a bushel. Stop letting Satan blow out that light. Are you ready? Are you working for Him? Is your testimony bright? Christian, I encourage you to come. Confess sin. Commit to Christ. Change what you need to change today. As you're all on the altar of sacrifice. Your heart, does the Spirit control? Be honest. Don't just come to church and think that all is well if you know the Spirit of God is challenging you to change. Please commit to Christ to change what He's speaking to you about right now. She'll play one more verse of that great invitation hymn. You need to come, you come. Talk to the Lord right there. Respond to what God has for your life today. But you cannot have rest and be fully blessed until all is on the altar. God wants to bless you. Make your life what it should be if you give it to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we long for that sweet rest, that peace. We long to yield our body and soul to you. May we all leave today with all on the altar, so that when you come, you will not find us flailing around in the world, but you will find us faithful. It's a challenge every day to every one of us in this building to live in such a way where we are evidencing this rapture-ready mentality. Lord, would you grant us the discipline, discernment, the dedication that we need to say no to sin, to walk in the Spirit, to live out the Word of God brightly so that others can see the love and light of Jesus Christ. Thank you for our time and worship of you today. Now help us to respond in obedience to you. As we're dismissed here today, would you give us a great rest of the Lord's day? Thank you for our time in the Word and our time of praise to you. We thank you for being such a great God. You are holy and completely worthy of our worship. And we pray that our lives would be a life of worship every single day. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. It's been great to be in the house of the Lord today.